Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
In the presidential race, everyone is talking about white working class voters. Yesterday, McCain cozied up to Michigan auto workers. Obama held a rally in a Nevada mining town. But my first guest this hour says all too often they're either ignored or, in the case of much of the white working class, stereotyped. With us now is Dr. Sherry Lincoln. She is co-director of the Center for Working Class Studies at Youngstown State University in Ohio, where she is also a professor of American Studies and English Literature. Dr. Lincoln, thanks for coming on WNYC with us. Hello from New York.
Good morning, and thanks for inviting me on the show.
And Youngstown is getting some attention from both campaigns. McCain was there earlier this week, and Joe Biden, I gather, is scheduled to be there today. Why is Youngstown, your town, a must-stop on the campaign trail right now?
Well, I think for two reasons. One is, as you said, we have a large population of working-class voters, and we've had historically working-class voters who are fairly solidly in the Democratic camp. So we're a prize that often gets fought over. I think we also are important in the election, and this has been true going back to the 1980s, because Youngstown has been defined to a very great extent by deindustrialization. So any conversation that's going to talk about the economy, that's going to talk about the loss of jobs, that's going to talk about globalization, almost has to come to Youngstown and show a scene of a shutdown steel mill.
So you teach at the Center for Working Class Studies. What do you mean by working class?
That's a great question and one that we always have difficulty with. There is no single definition. Working class can be a factor of education. Generally, we say that people without a college education are much more likely to be working class. Working class can be a factor of income as well as wealth, not only how much money you take home in your paycheck, but what kinds of resources you have access to. But working class is just as much a factor of culture. It's about attitudes and ideas. There's some great work that people are doing about the culture of the working class and the ideas of solidarity and commitment to family and community, a value on direct language, placing great value on things like humor. So there's work going on in a whole lot of different areas, and we think that if you line all of those different ways of thinking about class together, you get a pretty good portrait of the working class, but it's difficult to pin it down to a single set of characteristics.
You've written on your blog that the image of the working class is taking a beating in this year's presidential race. In what way?
There are two parts of that. One, of course, is this whole discussion that says the working class is responsible for the close election, in part because they're trying to figure out who to align themselves with, and that most of that is about the working class being racist, which I think adds to an already existing stereotype that says that the working class, in part because class is about education, the working class is stupid, the working class is foolish, the working class is lazy. And all of those things kind of fit together to create a stereotype. And we see it in some of the ways that the campaign has gone. You know, let's send Hillary Clinton to a bar to drink Boilermakers. That's what the working class is all about.
Send Obama to a bowling alley. Remember that one?
Exactly. And one of the problems, I think, historically in elections has been the candidates trying to make themselves fit what they think a working class image is. And that's, in fact, very difficult to do. Some working class people will respond very well to that, but some are offended by it.
Do we need to sort this by race right at the outset? Because when you say the working class voters are often the swing voters, we're really talking about white working class voters, and mostly Catholic white working class voters in a place like Youngstown, aren't we? Because there's such a preponderance of working class voters in the African American communities in this country, but we know who they're voting for president.
Generally, yes. I think it is the white working class that is somewhat more up for grabs, and I think it's probably fair to say that it's the working class in the middle of the country that is somewhat more up for grabs. I think if you look around a place like New York City, I'm guessing that you are likely to have a working class that is somewhat more liberal, also a working class that is much more diverse, not only black and white, but many people whose families have only come to this country more recently. You'll have a lot of working class people who are Asian and Latino, and it's a much more diverse picture. You come to a place like Youngstown, and while the working class is both black and white and Hispanic and Asian, it is predominantly white, and you're right that it's much more likely in this area especially to be Catholic.
And that brings us to one of the resentments that you talk about, that white working class people in the categories you were describing don't like this implication that they're racist. And you've written that some middle class and elite people won't vote for Obama because of his race, but nearly all of the commentary focuses on working class racism.
That's right. I think most of the ways we've been talking about that describe the working class as the ones who are racist, and we forget that racism runs through all strata of American society. Part of what may be different is that working class voters, in part because working class culture values directness, may be a little more willing to own up to it, whereas professional class voters may have been very nicely trained to use euphemisms. So we may not be hearing it as directly from more well-educated voters, and we may be hearing it somewhat more directly from the working class. I think it's equally important to remember that when we talk about the white working class is racist, we're painting with a very broad brush. There are lots of white working class people who are supporting Barack Obama.
We have about 10 minutes for calls for Dr. Sherry Lincoln, professor at Youngstown State University in Ohio and co-director of the Center for Working Class Studies. And if you want to react to anything that she has said here so far, give us a call, 212-433-WNYC. If you think you're a part of the group that is being defined here as working class or white working class, give us a call, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or post a comment or a question to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. You were saying there that the perceived racism of some white working class people is really directness?
I'm not saying that the racism doesn't exist. In fact, I think it's very important that we acknowledge and wrestle with racism where it does exist. And that means not only in the working class, but also among everybody else. But I do think that it's sometimes easier to get a working class person to say, no, I won't vote for him because he's black, than to get a middle class or professional class person to say the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
They would be much more likely to say, well, you know, I'm not really comfortable with him. He's not really like me. I don't know much about him. You know, I just don't trust him. That if we have an education, we've been trained not to say that kind of thing directly.
Yeah. I've been wondering about this idea of who people feel they know as a factor in the campaign. There's all this commentary about Obama being unfamiliar to voters. But he's been in the news nearly every day for a year now. We first heard the name Sarah Palin 3 weeks ago, but so many white working class people are being described in the media as finding her instantly familiar. Wouldn't there be a big racial component to this otherness versus sameness?
I think some of it is race, but I actually think a lot of it is class. Because if you think back to the 2004 election, people were saying some of the same kinds of things about John Kerry. That, you know, the comparison between Kerry and George Bush was, oh, you know, Bush seems like somebody I'd want to have a beer with, and Kerry looks strange when we show a picture of him hunting. Well, you know, we have pictures of Sarah Palin hunting from before she was named the vice presidential candidate. And I think she comes across to a lot of working class voters as more authentically like them, in part for the very reasons that some people on the other side have criticized her, that she doesn't have as much experience. You know, you think about it, again, we go back to education and class. Sarah Palin went to a state university, and I'm a great advocate of state universities, but we think about people who went to those kinds of schools as being very different from people who went to Harvard. So while, yes, I think there is some element of race in that feeling, I think a lot of it is about style, and a lot of that is really about class.
Do you think that there is an element of white working class voters voting against their economic interests because they value these questions of cultural identity or culture wars issues more than the economic issues, where they may more closely agree with the Democrats?
I think absolutely, and I think there's lots of research to suggest that that's not new in this election. It's been going on since at least the 1960s, that about the time that we began to have the rise of identity politics, many white working class voters began to move towards the Republicans, who managed to send out a message that, you know, we're on your side, we are like you. And if you look back historically, the Republicans have done an incredibly good job of casting themselves as the folksy candidates. Bill Clinton succeeded in part because I think he managed to do that himself. So I think a lot of that is about style. But if you look at the economic issues, you know, take something like tax cuts. All of the research suggests that the Tax Policy Center has done a very careful analysis of the Obama tax plan and the McCain tax plan. If you're interested in getting a tax cut and you make less than $150,000 a year, which clearly defines the working class, you want to vote for Barack Obama. But McCain has put out ads saying he's going to raise your taxes. So there's a whole lot of – there's some misinformation out there. But there's also very much a sense that, you know, I'm less interested in that. I want someone who I feel comfortable with, who seems like me. And I think that has run through American politics for a very long time.
Lewis in Rutherford, you're on WNYC with Sherry Lincoln from the Center for Working Class Studies at Youngstown State. Hello.
Good morning. I had a sad and latent experience. I worked for a large company for a lot of years, about 20 years, and I started in the company in the blue collar. And I would say the blue collar, the majority of the people were minority, and the top 20% were white that were management. I had the experience of moving from blue to white collar, and when I got to the white collar, it was very sad to see the racism behind the closed doors towards the rest of the workers. And they thought, because I'm now on the inside and I'm white, you know, I'm not going to step up and say anything. But it was really shocking.
Did
what
you
I
find?
Heard.
Can and you can you give me an example of the code? Did it express itself in different language than among your working class colleagues?
Sometimes it was overt. My direct boss would use terms that were shocking to me, that blew me away, and I knew him for a long time, and it was very sad. But the big experience I had is that a manager transferred in, became the senior manager of the operation from Texas. I knew him as a manager in Florida when I was down there. When he became the big boss of my operation, everybody was walking around and saying to me, hey, I hear you know this guy, and they wanted some information, and they would say, I heard he got the job, and they would rub their hand. They wouldn't say what they, and he was a black man, and they wouldn't say what they wanted to say, and they would say, I heard he got the job because of this. Because in the past, there were only white senior managers, and if I told you this operation in this company, it's a large company, it's a good company, I loved the company, and I think the company tried to change things, and they had rules in place to stop these things, but the day-to-day things I saw broke my heart.
You said
and
it's a sad
would
and
walk around with that hand thing. I would say, what are you talking about? I would try to use humor. I'd say, tell me what you're saying. I said, I don't know what that means. What does that mean? I would try to get them to say what they meant without confrontation.
Right. Well, you said a sad, enlightening experience.
Yes,
it sounds like. Thank you very much
Thank
for sharing
you.
It. Alan
Bye-bye.
Middletown, you're on WNYC. Hi, Al. Al,
you
there?
How you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Are you in Middletown, New York, Middletown, New Jersey, or Middletown, Connecticut?
Okay, I live outside of Middletown, New York. I'm actually in Long Island right now and grew up in Brooklyn, New York.
All right.
I grew up with Italian parents. My mom was very, very much a racist, and I never understood that because growing up, even Italian in that area felt like we were discriminated against, and I didn't like that feeling. And growing up, want to treat people, be treated like they treat you. And now I'm a pro-Obama guy because I'm mostly anti-Republican with the mess going on everybody knows about. And a lot of my friends, mostly white friends, and confront them every day, yesterday too, that are just not going to vote for Obama because he's black. And I think tiptoeing around this issue is going to be detrimental to him and our country.
Do they say it to you in a direct way?
My mechanic actually said something to me, and he said, I can't vote for him. I said, are you racist because he's black? He goes, basically.
Wow.
And he kind of had a turn of heart because somebody walked into his shop one day. It was a black and one of the local councilmen, and he said, and a black guy, a customer, walked in there, and this guy just took his checkbook and walked out. And he said, when I saw it for myself, I saw I saw what it's about. And I said, how would anybody else like it if you were treated that way just for being whatever you were born? It's terrible, but it's really out there, and it's really strong, and it's very sad. And I confront it. I'm not afraid of confrontation because it makes people think, and I got about 6 weeks to hopefully get through to some thickheads. But it's very sad. Very sad, and it's very real. And we really need to confront this head on, head on.
Al, thank you very, very much. And Dr. Lincoln, wow, when you think of these two callers back to back, it backs up with stories exactly what you were saying, which is that people who are racist in the more educated classes won't say it directly, that story about touching the skin on your hand, while Al's mechanic comes right out and says, yeah, it's because he's black.
That's exactly right. And part of what both of these calls, I think, reflect is the difficult line we're walking in this election. On the one hand, as Alan said, we have to confront the racism where it exists, no matter who's doing it, whether it's a working class person or a professional class person. On the other hand, we have to be careful about making sure that the way we do that doesn't add into the stereotype. So I think things like that first story are important for us to hear, not only because they remind us that lots of professionals are racist and are much more indirect about it, but it also reminds us of how the realities of the workplace affect all of this. We did some interviews back in February before the primary, and we heard lots of working class voters saying, you know, these things are not issues for us because we work together every day.
Mm-hmm.
This is the guy who's on the line next to me. My boss is a woman. Why would things like gender or race matter that much to me?
So can the white working class and the black working class ever get together and form a class-based coalition?
I think that's a great question. It's a real challenge. They're working very hard on doing that, I think, within the labor movement today, which is now, if not yet, majority people of color moving very quickly in that direction. But we have to remember that there's a very long history of employers using race as a way to divide workers from each other. You know, in our area, it goes back all the way to the 19th century. The very first time that there was a strike threatened, the local iron companies, this is back in the 1870s, solved the strike by threatening to bring in black workers from the South. And so we've set white workers and black workers against each other for so long that we really are going to have to work hard to overcome that. What's interesting to me is you hear lots of people who work together, lots of people who live in integrated neighborhoods, who really do know each other and are colleagues, and yet that divide remains. I think we're beginning to move out of it historically over time, but it's a slow process and a very difficult one.
That's a great piece of historical perspective you gave us there at the end, and we have to leave it there, unfortunately. Dr. Sherry Lincoln is co-director of the Center for Working Class Studies at Youngstown State University in Ohio, where she's also a professor of American Studies and English Literature. And you can keep this conversation going on our comments page at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Dr. Lincoln, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. More to come.